Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 18, Language Arts, Part 6. We're continuing our discussion of the connectives. So we last left off looking at that powerful word in contemporary speech, like, and how it relates to as, and is more often than not nowadays confused for as. So let's just, you know, have some hypothetical sentences. Teaching a subject like Renaissance history requires a lot of preparation. Okay, so that's correct. A subject like Renaissance history. Like many a Waldorf teacher, comma, I could not imagine doing that level of work, period. Once again, like many a Waldorf teacher, that's correct. As any Waldorf teacher knows, comma, a lot of time must be spent in classroom preparation. Okay, so it's very different now. We're not saying like any Waldorf teacher knows, though that is all too commonly used, even by Waldorf teachers, as any Waldorf teacher knows. Waldorf education, as I told you, is demanding and labor-intensive, as I told you. Correct usage there. So we can see the difference. When I say teaching a subject like Renaissance history, the preposition like has introduced a prepositional phrase, like Renaissance history, or like many a Waldorf teacher. I like to work hard. Like many a Waldorf teacher, again, prepositional phrase. When I say, as any Waldorf teacher knows, it's hard work in this profession. As any Waldorf teacher knows, there I have a clause. Waldorf education, as I told you, is demanding, is hard work. As I told you, there again, we have a clause. And the clause means that a subject and a verb are coming up. If you know that's on the way, then you're immediately going to use as. If you are simply creating a prepositional phrase in which there need not be a verb, which there won't be a verb, then you're going to use like. So this is something that's very interesting for the seventh grader. They have to, as they start to speak, they have to see what's coming towards them and what word is going to be appropriate to meet that which hasn't been spoken yet. Does this sound familiar? We are really here in the flow of time, the dual flow of time. That is what the difference between a preposition and a conjunction, a connective word is. We are working then with understanding what we're going to put in the sentence because of what's going to follow it. And this is a different way now of looking at language. Usually it's basically building it up one step after another. In a very etheric way, that's the proper way for us to have taught grammar all these years. But now, starting again, middle of the sixth grade, seventh grade most intensely, before they open their mouth, those seventh graders have to be forming, have to be intuiting, have to be receiving that which is going to come towards them because of what they have uttered. That is to say, in short, think before you speak. And good grammar is all about that. You know, there are many, many ways of getting your point across, including with your fist or your foot. As I said, if all else fails, you do that. As that expression goes, that war is diplomacy by other means. And we might say that a punch or a kick is language by other means. So grammar forces us to put a little bit of advanced thought into what we're saying so that what we say is proper, that it will fit well into the language of the realm, so that it will show that we are thinking about what we're saying, and so that it really tones down what we have to say. It's not just a bunch of expletives and exclamations, but rather there's really a form, a structure, and a sense of time entering into our speech. This is why I want you again to look at the triads of tenses, because there too, time is going to play a great role. That, you know, using the verb were, have and were, very, very important, because once again, we are working now with the future as much as we are with the present and the past. In fact, we can't live in the present unless we're comfortably letting the future flow towards us. I wish that I could explain to you why the word like, which is, as I say, a preposition, and so is of and in and out and under, why like has taken on a life of its own in the English language, alas, not just among young people anymore, but all over the place. Just to give you two anecdotes showing my age, way back, I guess it was the 1960s or so, maybe even the late 50s, in the days when tobacco and liquor could be advertised on TV. So Winston, a very popular cigarette brand at that time, had a famous campaign, Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Okay, you can see right away that that is not working, that doesn't work. It has to be as a cigarette should. So at that time, many, many grammarians, many English teachers in schools all over the United States wrote letters and vociferously kept after the tobacco company that owned the Winston brand and said, you are teaching children bad grammar, apart from encouraging them to smoke on television. Please do something about this. And this is what Winston did. They started a new ad campaign in which an attractive young co-ed and her attractive young collegiate friend are walking on the campus. They take out cigarettes, and imagine this was on television. As they do, she looks at him and says, Winston tastes good. And he looks back at her and says, like a cigarette should. But as he's finishing that sentence, a distinguished professor walks by and says, as a cigarette should. So there's the image now of the stuffy English teachers who were bugging Winston no end. He says, as a cigarette should, in a deep, mellifluous, slightly British voice. And the two students turn to him and they say, what do you want, good grammar or good taste? And that was that. That was Winston's way of dealing with its poor grammar. It certainly wasn't going to change a multi-million dollar advertising campaign that was very successful. So, okay, that's 60 years ago, let's say. And now, not too long ago, the time of this recording, after Barack Obama was elected for his first term, and appointed Hillary Clinton his Secretary of State, New York State needed another junior senator. And someone who had helped Obama greatly in his campaign was Caroline Kennedy, one of the last of the Kennedy dynasty, the daughter of JFK and his wife Jacqueline, later Onassis. So Caroline was, her name was put forward, and here she was, fabulously wealthy, someone who had written a number of best-selling books on many different subjects, trained as a lawyer, Columbia Law School, and active in New York politics and all kinds of philanthropic endeavors. So back and forth it went. Would she say yes? Would she say no? And she decided to sort of float a trial balloon. And what she did was to agree to be interviewed in a very casual way by a New York Times reporter. And the interview was recorded. Up until this point, Caroline Kennedy, in the tradition of the Kennedy family, her deceased brother John had followed the same course. They were never interviewed. Never, never, never were they interviewed. Never were their voices heard over the media, only when they appeared in events and said a few formal words. So this was the first time that Caroline Kennedy, in her all of her years of life, was ever interviewed, and it was recorded. And that interview, which was all of about half an hour long, was the beginning and the immediate end of her political career. She was so remarkably inarticulate, and practically every other word was like. So I'm like a traditional Democrat. I like follow the main part of like the Democratic thoughts, and like I'm not too left-wing at all. Like I felt Barack Obama was like really the, you know, like the, it went on and on and on like that. It was so embarrassing. And her name was quickly withdrawn, and she quickly went back to her much more protected public life. So there's somebody who comes from a family of great wealth. She's had the best education that money could buy. She's in the company of cultured, highly educated people at all times in the very tight social circles of New York's wealthiest. And there it is, that word like, that inescapable like. And all I can say is, besides, of course, telling the children how to use it properly as opposed to as, that's fine. But throwing the word like around is another matter entirely. It completely is different from its use as an adjective, and rather as, excuse me, as a preposition. So it's just funny that this preposition has taken on a life of its own. All that you can do is to constantly, constantly correct the students. When somebody is reviewing yesterday's lesson and starts a stream of likes, stop them again and again and again. Do it with humor, do it with persistence. It's your only hope. And even then, the best that you can hope for is that in the classroom, like will not go crazy. But I can't tell you how your students will speak at the local mall or even when they're eating lunch with one another. And one of the most interesting usages of the word like, and of course this changes and may have really changed already in the common parlance, but instead of saying, quoting oneself, so I said to her, you can't do that. Instead, what the person, the young person usually says is, so I'm like, you can't do that. That's astonishing that the word like substitutes for the verb to speak, to say, to utter, to exclaim, to whatever. Whatever is another one of these words. That like is a substitute for the word to speak. So here we are again. Human speech, whatever is becoming of it, we don't even have the capacity to say the word speak anymore, or to say. Rather, it becomes like. All right, we'll go on to look at more connectives in our next lecture.